This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, DraftKings, VSiN, the sports betting network. On a Friday, June 28, we welcome you in. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Dustin Sweetelson, the big Hawaiian, hanging out at the D, downtown Las Vegas, where apparently there's a concert about to go down. The vibes are high. Now, just down the road from Dustin at the Sphere, they got rid of Bono's ass, and they're bringing in the hockey players. 2024 NHL draft coming up this evening. We'll get into some of the betting ramifications there. Of course, a busy day across Major League Baseball as it's baseball's time to shine. 15 games today. If you like this sort of thing, an MLS game, NYFC against Orlando. It's actually a very good game for the kids out there that get into that type of thing. A couple of things. One, baseball, I mentioned, takes center stage. So what we're going to do is we're going to hit you with one of the great pitchers of all time. John Smoltz is going to join us in just about 12 minutes. So looking forward to the conversation with the Hall of Famer and John Smoltz. Eric Pincus. Yeah, I said it. Bleacher Report, national NBA writer. We do have odds on Rookie of the Year, which we can get to after a draft that is, for it being so trifling, has caused a lot of talking points. Let's put it that way. Stuart Durst, a betting analyst, is going to join us. Then our buddy Abe Gordon from 92.9 The Game down in Atlanta. So we've got a busy show. We've got our family vids as well. And we say hi to the big guy as he is getting excited. He's got a vacation coming up while the rest of us grind. And he wore short sleeves today, so everybody's excited about that as well. What's going on?
While the rest of us grind, I'm going to be away for 3 weeks, and I believe I'll be back a week and a half before you will be while the rest of us grind.
A week and a half and add a day because I did that Derby show.
Oh, that's right. A little comp day action, like old school.
I got to talk to John Goulet about that one. Excited, brother. The big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, Tropical. Of course. How are we feeling today?
Oh, it's a good day. It's a good day. You know, the dust seemingly has settled, it feels like. You know, we had a lot of buildup. The draft, our VSiN Pro betting guide, the NFL betting guide came out, looking through that. There was a lot happening, and it feels like we have time to catch our breath right before we ride off into the sunset into our vacaciones.
Okay. That, we'll keep that on the down low, but keep going with that, big guy. I'll be here for the month of July just trying to get through it. Maybe I'll get paired up with Berkey like you do on your little podcast there, Double Play, a baseball podcast, wherever you download it. It would be thrilling for me, of course. Now, a couple of things. We talked about the draft, and we're going to get to the odds over at DraftKings on Rookie of the Year. You're not going to find a great number for Bronny James, LeBron James Jr. However, the number is 55 because that's when the Los Angeles Lakers and LeBron James selected Bronny James yesterday in round two, and then there were three more choices made after Bronny James, and then the draft came to a conclusion. And that's it, right? That's all there is to the story. Not so much, because you wake up today and there's myriad conversations about nepotism and OMG, can you believe this? People. Now, this goes well beyond my time here at VSiN, but I've been trying to say this. And Dustin's smiling because he knows every step of the way I've nailed this LeBron thing with the Lakers. Bronny James, although he wasn't eligible, was drafted by the Lakers in 2018. You know why? Because that's when LeBron James joined the Los Angeles Lakers. And he was already hailed as the king. This is like a Roman tale. LeBron James, who had already won championships, he decided to bequeath himself upon the Lakers organization coming out of the Kobe era. Jeannie Buss, she likes her face in the news and the rest of the organization. They needed to come back to some sort of royalty, kind of along with the theme, and they needed royalty, and LeBron James was that. So in 2018, when you handed the franchise to LeBron James and he picked you, you then gave him the right to get rid of Magic Johnson, who was the Laker GOAT up until that point. You gave him the right to get rid of the first round draft picks that had preceded him coming to the Lakers, and you gave clutch management and LeBron James the right to run the Lakers. So in 2018, LeBron drafted Bronny. He just put it on hold until he was eligible yesterday with the 55th overall pick. Okay, so that's one thing. First off, if you've ever questioned how much LeBron has control of this organization, remember, Magic Johnson couldn't wait to get the hell out of there. Just think about that. Now, let's get to what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. I told you, it was a coup. We're going with the Roman tail. Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka did their best to usurp the power from LeBron James they handed him in 2018. And Danny Hurley was that dude. Danny Hurley was the person the organization was going to use because, remember, LeBron had yet to sign the extension. The hostage ransom he was using, I haven't picked up my option, and I haven't given you an opportunity to sign me to an extension because I get to pick the coach and I get to draft my son. So Jeannie, 39, 40 years old, LeBron, and Pelinka, they're sitting just a couple of miles down the road from me having a conversation like, this guy's maniacal. He's a Roman emperor. Our organization is screwed. We need the power. Let's go get the red ass Danny Hurley. All right? Danny Hurley's like, hey, Lakers, my wife never would move to Los Angeles if you gave us $10 billion, but I'll fly out there the next day and pretend like I care because then I'm going to head back to stores and have those donks pay me a ton of cash to stay at UConn where I've won back-to-back championships. Then all of a sudden, Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka were like, we just got played like Dustin on Tinder. What the hell are we going to do? Screw it. We tried. He's pissed. Clutches on our ass. Go ahead and let him hire his podcast partner to be the next head coach of the Lakers. Okay. J.J. Redick comes in. He's swearing. He's crass. He's all over the place. Why? He's been emboldened by the dude that chose him to host his podcast about basketball theory. Rob Pelinka is sitting up there like, yeah, I don't have anything to say. I just like living in Manhattan Beach, and it's a good role. LeBron runs the team. Jeannie Buss, we haven't heard from her because she is the owner just by title. Because LeBron James is the owner, the daddy, and the Lakers. So then we get to last night. And the 55 pick is coming around, and we start hearing some rumors that Rich Paul, you know Rich Paul, grew up with LeBron James over in Akron, started a company, and they essentially control the NBA. Rich Paul's telling people, hey, don't draft Bronny, because if you do, we're sending him to Perth. Good day, mate. We're sending him to Australia. The teams laughed and were like, nah, we're good. We wouldn't have drafted him anyway. You know, he's not a pro. Click. 55 comes around. Then all of a sudden, you have pictures popping up of Savannah James, wifey, and the kid putting the hat on. They're both crying while it's all being puppeteered in the background by dad. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something that might surprise you. And this is for Big Guy. You could think about this for those Sunday shows. Nepotism, favoritism. I got to be honest with you. I love the story. Those of you yelling about, oh my gosh, could you see this coming? First off, you're just dense. It started in 2018. And if you didn't see LeBron drafting his son last night, he's been telling us for years he's going to do it. And you know what? I freaking love the story. You can come up with so many, and people are doing it all day today, so I'm not going to just absolutely hit you over the head with it, but Flip Saunders' son's over here coaching, and that donk couldn't figure out which way is up with the basketball hoop. Mike Piazza was drafted by the Dodgers in like the 100th round because Tony Lasorda liked his dad and was doing him a solid. Like, we can go on and on with favoritism and nepotism. So just bear with me here. It's the 55th pick. Second rounders are hit or miss. You take a shot because you have to make LeBron happy. That has nothing to do with the story. That was already an answer. Is LeBron going to draft his son? Yes, was the answer because he's been telling us. The issue was back in 2018 when you were coming off the Kobe stuff and you needed a resurgence of the Laker legacy, you decided to hand a dude that was named the King and already in 2018 a part of the conversation is who's the greatest basketball player of all time? This is power, this is influence, and this is how the world works.
You can be the owner of a team, but when you give the most powerful person and that vocation authority, you lose until they're gone. That's Jeannie Buss. That's LeBron James. And that's why they tried the coup with Danny Hurley. But Danny Hurley's like, I'm not coaching his ass. My wife would never move out to Los Angeles. So thanks for the leverage. I'm going back to stores with the rest of the donks over at that casino that I used to go to in the middle of the woods. Anyway, so congratulations to Bronny. Congratulations to LeBron. That's the moral of the story. But keep up, people. Hey, what's the deal with nepotism? You born yesterday? You don't think that this is a shady business? Now think about it from his son's perspective. The rest of his life, he's 19 years old and he has to go through the rest of his life. It's like when dudes get famous, then all of a sudden girls pay attention to him. And they're like, they get bitter at the women because they're like, dude, they weren't calling me before. That's the same as LeBron's son, Bronny. He's like, wait, was that good enough? Or did it have something to do with the fact that my dad was called the king? You'll never know. So while on the surface, it's a beautiful story for LeBron, he's probably completely downloading all this negativity into his son's brain. But hey, congratulations to the Lakers. You are a laughingstock, but a wonderful story. Taylor Swift would say a love story. We come back with the big guy and John Smoltz as we continue on a Friday. It is Sharp Money presented by, DraftKings.
Is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, DraftKings, VSIN, the sports betting network. We welcome you back. Dustin Sweetelson, live downtown Las Vegas. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles, and we're going to welcome in one of the all-time greats. I can't really read the resume because it would take up our 10 minutes to talk to John Smoltz. Of course, MLB on Fox as an analyst, a Hall of Famer, 21-year career, one of the greats, Progressive Guest Line. We say hi to Mr. Smoltz. Hi, John. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. Of course, last week you had Yankees Braves. Let's discuss the Yankees. Heel starting to struggle. Cole his last two times out. Rodon, all of a sudden, starting to get a little dicey there in the Bronx.
Yeah, a little bit. Every team goes through these funks. They had been in a nice run, and their pitching had probably overperformed. And you're going to have those. It's pretty difficult to do that all year. So there's some regression there, and they're going to have to figure it out as they hopefully don't get into it. I always felt like as a starter, just never have three bad games in a row. Two in a row, you can deal with it. Three in a row, the league's picked up something, and you're going to have to make some changes if it's three in a row. So the Cole situation, this is going to be part of the deal. He'll get clipped in. As long as he's healthy, he'll find his way, no doubt. I said they got to have three major league starts after your rehab starts just to get back to normal. And so we'll see what he does in his third. But there's definitely, baseball goes through the glass is half full, the glass is half empty, so many different times for every team. All you got to do, and I found this interesting in my business, just go visit a city and talk to the local broadcasters. They will tell you every wart there is about their team because they see it too much, right? It's probably not fair, but it is part of the deal in baseball. It's why it's such a long season.
John Smoltz joining us here. It's a great breakdown. How about somebody like Luis Gil, though? Because if you looked at his game log, he had just been dominant. And then he ran into maybe it was Baltimore where he couldn't get out of the second inning. And so the last couple of times, somebody young like Gil, how do you analyze him?
Yeah, that's a little bit more difficult because now the rhetoric of today's sport pitching is if you haven't had history on your side and you haven't thrown a lot of innings, everybody talks about, oh, he's approaching this many innings and what are they going to do and how are they going to slow it down? The league adjusts. And young pitchers have to find ways to adjust back. When you've had the nice run that he had, the great run trending towards being the starting pitcher of the All-Star game, and then you have a crack to the armor, it kind of shocks your system a little bit because you don't have much experience to deal with. And it's just all part of the learning curve. And once you go through it and you sustain and don't get into a big long funk, you realize how to handle that the rest of your career. That's why veterans are so important, really, really this time of the year, all the way to the end of navigating the season. Young pitchers, dominant young pitchers in our, but we also have never seen so many not be ready to handle the full load of a baseball season. That's why you see staffs have to go through 12 to 15 starting pitchers a year, not on every team, but on average, that's a lot of pitchers to have to navigate a baseball season. That never used to be the case, but that's the kind of scenarios we are playing out in today's game.
John Smoltz, the Hall of Famer, MLB on Fox. He's got the Dodgers Giants tomorrow on Fox. And I want to ask you this, John, about Dave Roberts. He's got his team sitting 51-31, of course, in the bubble, won the World Series, but I'm in Los Angeles and he takes so much flack here. You know him. He's probably one of the nicest dudes alive and a hell of a baseball man, but they just point to the lack of success in the postseason. I'd just like to get your overview on somebody that's had sustained success like this, but not the championships that people expect.
Well, I lived it. I lived it through our organization. We went 14 years in a row and only won one championship. We did it for a different reason. And we always had the starting pitching. We just didn't have enough hitting. But I think for the Dodgers, the narrative has been big roster, financially heavily committed to a lot of stars. And at certain times of the year, specifically at the end, they've had health issues within their rotation. Listen, the Dodgers are not immune to what everything else in baseball is dealing with, but the Dodgers have had their history now of a lot of injuries about how to slow those down. You just can't keep getting 9-10 guys and have the, you know, the luxury of a roster that gives you more chances to make mistakes. But I think in fairness to Dave Roberts and the way that the organization kind of runs their game planning and analytics, they're holding true to it and they're not deviating from it. So one could argue that some of those times, at the most important times, not deviating it from has cost them a chance to win a World Series. They've run into some bad luck, no doubt. Historic year with the chasing down the Giants of 107 wins and having to go through that and getting beat up all along the way, losing to the Braves and when Braves won the World Series. So there's a lot of reasons, and I don't think it's fair to point a lot of them towards Dave Roberts because he is the conduit. He is going to be the fall guy, no doubt, just like Bobby Cox was for us. A lot of people blamed him, and it wasn't. So in a baseball season that has two totally different run tournaments, the tournament of 162 and then the tournament of the playoffs, it is not one and the same at all. And so you have to be able to adjust and alter certain things at that time of the year. And if you don't, if you run the same models for 162 in the postseason, I argue you put yourself at a greater risk of losing than a greater chance of winning.
John, I have to ask you about Shohei. I know you've been asked a million times, but you, not just a pitcher, a great athlete, obviously a great golfer growing up in Michigan, just myriad sports. Can you frame for people that don't understand the Shohei phenomenon as an athlete, as somebody that's watching him do what he does? How do you explain him?
The way I explain it is, besides him being the ultimate freak, I hope we see more of it. I hope that door gets open to a lot more that are willing to accept a guy to play multiple positions and do certain things, maybe not at the level that Shohei has. But this is, for me, the greatest baseball player I have seen in my time frame. And look, I think I said it when he came onto the scene. I think I don't know how long he can do this from an injury standpoint. And it's proven to be true. He's had two now procedures on his elbow. But I hope when he's healthy,
I hope when he's healthy, he gets a chance to go back out there and learn from some of the things that he had as the pitcher, maybe tone it down a little bit and be able to do both as long as possible. Look, the Dodgers signed him to be a pitcher and a hitter. I don't think they signed him to be just a DH, although, golly, he's having a historic DH season. And if at worst he's not able to maybe, let's say, pitch the rest of his career, he will play a position. He's that good of an athlete. And I root for him. I mean, I root for all these young pitchers to stay healthy. I want to see things done on the mound that have never been done before, but we're trending in the wrong direction from an injury standpoint.
The great John Smoltz, have a great call tomorrow, MLB on Fox. Of course, you've got the Giants and Dodgers, one of the great rivalries in all of sport, and he is the Hall of Famer, John Smoltz. Thank you for your time today. Really appreciate you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Okay, thank you, John Smoltz. So, got something out of him there with the Shohei conversation, big guy. Best player that he's seen. So, it bothers people. And obviously, he's saying all-encompassing, but he said it's the best player, and John Smoltz is one of the all-time greats.
Well, a couple things he said there about Ohtani that really interest me, because I've been on this thing where I think he should come back as a reliever, not a starter, and you be used periodically, maybe be used as a closer, right? Just let it fly for one inning. If there's a way to manipulate the lineup and the roster and how you use hitters and pitchers and DHs becoming eligible, that's something I would do with him. Him pitching every 5 days, it just like seems like a waste when we see what he's doing at the plate. Why take anything away from how he can contribute every single day to sacrifice it for every fifth day and risk another injury? Just, I'd rather have the bat.
Well, why don't you invite him on Double Play and have the conversation?
Shohei?
John Smoltz.
Oh. I should.
Why are you laughing? A podcast is where, like, for example, I didn't even ask him about Skeens because we just had 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And he gives thoughtful answers. So, you know, a podcast, maybe get them to stretch out a little bit. No, I guarantee you'd get some downloads.
You're right. And also, I want to note on Ohtani with the bat. The month of June for his career, he's hitting .331 with 54 homers and 114 RBIs in 132 games.
Is it good?
That's the month of June. June swoon, June gloom in L.A. normally, not for Shohei. What?
that's the big guy right there. That's the big guy. Yeah, no, he's a freak. We've got Rookie of the Year odds, NBA, and three up, three down, Major League Baseball.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, VSiN.com was a very busy website yesterday because we dropped our NFL betting guide, and apparently the action was crazy. The feedback has been unbelievable. People really enjoying the content, so I encourage you to go over there at VSiN.com to check it out. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, and betting guides. Make sure to check out VSiN.com. You know the guide did well when John Goulet is sending us like a message that's complimentary towards others. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, that's my guy. But if he's saying good job, we must have just overtaken ESPN. That's all I'm saying. Now, a couple of things. Speaking of overtaking, we've got DraftKings. Look at them. We've got DraftKings with the NBA rookie odds, which we're going to get to. We've got 15 games in baseball today. But just like, you know, any partnership, sometimes you're like really high on a person. You're like, man, that guy's killing it lately. Well, yesterday during the guide day, I thought Dustin had one of his stronger shows. Like, he really was a professional, killed it, did a great job. Then, and I feel like I should let you in on this, just coming back from break, there was a debate last night. We're not talking politics, but there was a debate last night. And I asked him a question because I said, did you tweet during the debate? And he said, I did, and it went viral. So everything that I had thought about him as far as respecting him, obviously I just lost all the respect because, you know, having a measure of going viral
He said there was like 180,000 people that looked at it or something, which isn't viral compared to people that are really going viral. So the context is completely out of whack. And secondly, he's a 40-year-old man trying to go viral. So then he sent me what he said during the debate last night. And you can decide for yourself. Do you think it's funny? He said, at Dustin Sweetelson, this is the worst episode of First Take ever. Again. Do what you will with the joke. But my bigger point of contention would be caring about going viral. Why?
You know, there's a lot of great analysts in the game. You look across, we just had John Smoltz, probably the best when it comes to baseball. I think in the NBA, I'm a big Tim Legler guy. I think in hockey, Eddie Olczyk, who's been on the show, he's awesome. You are the lead Dustin Sweetelson analyst on the planet, because I feel like you spend a lot of time breaking down the tape and dissecting, reading between the lines to figure out what's going on inside this brain. That's what I'm taking from this conversation.
Well, I did give birth to you, so it makes sense.
Kinda
true. You can never get ahead of
it. It's kind of true.
Congratulations on going viral. Oh. Where during the debate you said this is the worst episode of First Take ever, and you're proud of yourself there.
So, good job. No, because if we're being fair, I had taken a pretty lengthy break from really tweeting things that were not related to work or the show or VSiN or my job. Like, so I'm not really proud that I broke that streak, but I was proud that other people thought it was funny. That made me feel good, which is a whole other issue, which I should not be skipping therapy today because of that.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, so talking about the draft, and maybe you can pull up, Dustin, the Rookie of the Year odds. I haven't looked over at DraftKings NBA Rookie of the Year odds coming out of the draft. My assumption is, just based on common sense, that it's Sar, because the idea that he's going to go to Washington, he chose to go to Washington because he knows he's going to get buckets. He knows he's going to get opportunities. So the French kid that went to Atlanta, he's got a pretty talented team with two guys that like to chuck it. Now, we do have odds on Trae Young's next team over at DraftKings, which gives you an idea. Maybe they start to retool around the number one draft pick. And maybe Richiche or DeJounte Murray, Trae Young, get rid of both Murray and Young. Like, what are they going to do? So that's fascinating. Reed Shepard at 3. All right, I'm ready for the odds. Let's have a look.
Well, you're actually wrong. I had it sorted bottom to top. Bronny James, 250-1. Sorry, you're right. Is correct. He is plus 350 to be your Rookie of the Year next year. Reese Shea, your second shot, at plus 450. Stephon Castle is 7-1. Zach Edey, 11-1. And there are two names that jumped out to me really deep on the board that I'd like to dive into.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
The first one's Jarrod McCain. I think he's in a great spot. I think he comes from...
Dude, you're obsessed with this kid.
He's coming from Duke. These other kids are coming from Europe. We don't know how they're going to play in the NBA. Like, what are we talking about here? I think he is a great fit for what Philly wants to do in that backcourt. Take some of that burden off of Embiid. Let him and Maxey run. And I just think that number is way too big for a guy who was a dominant recruit before he ended up at Duke. 40-1 is a massive number on one of the best college players in the country last year.
Do you think you like him that much because he likes to go viral like you do?
Oh, he goes really viral. He goes really. Like what I did last night, he would be bored by it and probably delete it. That's how viral he goes.
Next, Dalton Connect. What's his number over at DraftKings?
He is 12-1. So he is even with Reed Shepard, Donovan Klingon, and then Cody Williams and Ronald Holland are after them. So 12-1, Reed Shepard, Donovan Klingon, and Dalton Connect.
Okay. Anything else stand out as far as the odds?
The other one that jumped out to me was Terrence Shannon, who we discussed yesterday. 80-1 is a really big number on a guy who has the ability to produce right away in the NBA. He's going to be able to get buckets. Like, he's a man. He's not 40, but he's close to it, closer than a lot of these guys.
I was going to say, he's not far off.
And he's on a team that needs perimeter help. They need someone who can score on the wing, who can create their own shot, take that burden off of Anthony Edwards to a degree. And I think Terrence Shannon at 81, that is a massive number on a guy who can score.
Yeah, and he's downhill. Like, so I listened to the general manager who's new there with Washington this morning, Dustin,
And he was talking about taking Alex Saar, Bub Carrington, Pitt, who's maybe the youngest person in the draft, and then Kyshawn George, who's 19. And the host actually asked him about, like, why would you pass up on Shannon, who went one pick later, or somebody like a Dalton Kennect? And the general manager was very, he's like, I'm not going to talk about other players, but he literally just said, we're a team that's not going to win next year. Yeah. Those dudes are 5 years older than the guys that I took. That's the reason. So the reason everybody keeps on talking about Dalton Kennect being such a great fit for the Lakers is because, and I don't want to get into, like, LeBron runs the Lakers and he's 40 years, he's going to be 40 years old. So you know exactly what you're being brought in to do. You are 23, going on 24, Kennect, and you're brought in literally to shoot. You're brought in to score, not wait and develop. You see what I'm saying? So that number at 12-1 is pretty juicy. It's nice.
Well, and more importantly, what are those shots going to look like? I think that's a massive component for Dalton Kennect compared to some other rookies who are – usually if you're a high pick who can score in the league right away, you're going to a team that needs you to score right away, that doesn't have a lot of options. I think he's in the most beneficial situation. We've seen a guy with his raw scoring ability because he has two guys in that offense that are absolute focuses for opposing defenses. Then you add in Austin Reeves as another option. And then there's a bunch of other solid pros throughout. I think for Dalton Kennect, a big thing for him is that he's going to get a lot of open looks with all the attention on other people.
Yeah, no, it's well put. So Saar, 3.5-1. Rishishe, the number one overall pick, 4.5-1. Stephon Castell at 7-1. It's not a terrible number for just the amount of usage he's going to get in San Antonio. And I think Pop may turn him into the point. So interesting there.
Well, yeah. Pick and rolls with Wemby all day. I mean, that just is a great situation to be in.
Yeah, 100%. The Edie piece, meh.
Yeah, I agree.
Even somebody like a Klingon, I'm not interested in because look, you're looking for points. You're looking for stats stuffers, and Klingon's just going to make an impact defensively. So, I don't know if I love that number. You know, the person I'm hearing about is this Ronald Holland.
I don't know anything about him.
I know. He's 15-1. Our buddy Brandon Anderson said he was number one on his board.
No.
So he was G League. The Pistons selected him at 5 overall. The dude on ESPN had him number one overall. The guy that used to run Memphis. Hollinger.
Okay, yep.
So Ronald Holland at 15-1. I don't know. Maybe worth a peek because people say he's super raw, but.
Hey.
And he's going to get opportunities. Did you see what happened? Borrego just took his name out of the Detroit Pistons coaching search because he doesn't want to have anything to do with that hot trash.
Oh, wow. For James Borrego to be saying no to you, you really have to be at a low point.
Yeah. ain't great.
What I'd say about these odds is last year stunk. As bettors, we can only ask for this, for opportunities to get in on some guys. Last year we had Wembanyama and for a moment Chet Holmgren, but really Wemby was just such a freak. There was no way he wasn't going to win that award if he stayed healthy. At least this year we could take some shots.
Who had the best drafts? Who brought in the best draft class? There is a team that may surprise you, and the circumstances around their draft pick may surprise you. We'll come back with that. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, the NFL betting guide is out, and of course, big hit yesterday. Props to everybody. I was having a little fun with it earlier, but props to everybody across the network that helped put the guide together, and also the programming yesterday was awesome. Our all-new NFL betting guide is a secret weapon for the upcoming season. With in-depth profiles of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and betting trends, you'll have the tools you need to bet this season smarter. Plus,
Our experts share their top bets of the win season as far as win totals, futures, and props, giving you the insights you need to get ahead of the action. To get the guide, you must be a VSiN Pro subscriber. So for a limited time, what we're going to do is give you a discount so you can get the guide. Generally $240, right now $199, and you get an extra month for free. So that's 13 months of VSiN Pro access to everything we do, including our daily best bets, 24/7 video, premium analysis, betting splits, data, and of course, the NFL betting guide. Don't miss out. VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Tremendous job by everybody all the way around as we welcome you back on a Friday. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Dustin Sweetelson, downtown Las Vegas at the D. We had John Smoltz on just a little bit ago. We're going to have Eric Pincus, works over at Bleacher Report, talking about the NBA. We'll get him in talking about the draft. Stuart Durst has a bunch of props for you. Ape Gordon's going to join us as well. So a lot to do. We were going through the Rookie of the Year odds, big guy. Now, most people believe that the Utah Jazz had a tremendous draft. First off, at number 10, they took Cody Williams out of Colorado. I love the player. Isaiah Collier, number 29. Collier was the number one ranked kid coming out of high school. So obviously the potential and talent is there. And then Kyle Filipowski, the big out of Duke. So this story is actually kind of weird. And I don't know how much of it to believe because we only have one side of the story. But there was an ESPN reporter that came out talking about Filipowski, who was drafted 32 overall by the Jazz, and essentially said, look, Filipowski was a first-round draft pick, much higher than where he went at 32, but his workouts weren't great and the interviews were awkward. He seemed to be nervous. And at that point, the ESPN reporter kind of mentioned, you know, he's got a girlfriend that's caused issues with the family and didn't necessarily say anything negative. But then Kyle Filipowski's brother and mother took to social media and basically blamed Filipowski's girlfriend, who is Mormon. Ironically, he was drafted by Utah, as grooming him and exonerating him from the family. So basically, this is a young lady that was Kyle Filipowski's babysitter. She's 28, he's 20, and the family said he's been excommunicated because she's groomed him, and that's the issue. So there are reports that teams, because of the awkward interviews and the workouts where he seemed nervous, that they passed on a guy that should have went higher than 32 because of all the other stuff that's happening. But again, we don't have the Filipowski side and we don't have the young lady side. So I don't know what to believe. I just thought that was fascinating because as far as value, which is what we focus on here on VSiN, getting Filipowski at 32 is tremendous value, big guy.
He's a 7-footer and he's played a lot of meaningful basketball. And he's going to be able to contribute in the NBA in some capacity because he has skills for a guy at that size. He's not just like a loaf out there. So this is a player that Utah can absolutely develop, at one of many young players that they have there now. So from a pick standpoint, it's a great value. It's a great pick. It's an opportunity to find a diamond in the rough. It's just all the baggage that comes with it is certainly interesting because you dive deeper into the story. There was an email goodbye letter, like cutting off the family. There's a lot of weird things. And it reminds me of this Netflix documentary I just watched called Dancing with the Devil about this TikTok cult. It's really fascinating stuff, but it's all a lot of parallels. And I just say this. You don't have to look into too far into other sports to see people whose families don't speak to them anymore and them succeeding. Aaron Rodgers has been excommunicated from his family for a long time. He's won a couple MVPs along the way.
Well, here's what I will say. The reasons that the therapists are so rich is because this conversation is completely stupid. Like I've been driving around and listening to local sports talk, whatever the state, and I've heard people, dudes on the air, literally judging Aaron Rodgers because they presume they know what's happening between him and his family. There is nothing stickier or nothing that we couldn't conceptualize from the outside that is looking in on somebody else's family dynamic. Like, absolutely no way. Nobody knows the story. That's how messy families can be. And that's how sensitive it can be. So this concept that we're going to judge Rodgers or judge Filipowski or judge the girl or judge his family is insane because we literally know nothing. That's all I'm going to say.
But if we're going to draw some conclusions, we're going to get into that room with all the pictures on the wall and the tacks on the board and drawing lines to each one. It is fascinating what you've laid out. Mormon girlfriend, 6 years older, should have went earlier in the draft, somehow falls into the second round. Now we're in Utah, home of the Mormons, playing for the Jazz. All the conclusions seem very interesting to me.
Well, whatever. You think she was in with Danny Ainge, who runs the Jazz, to get him to you do you think Danny Ainge was in on a Mormon conspiracy to draft Kyle Filipowski at 32 overall?
6 years ago, when he was 14, Danny Ainge, when he was still working for the Celtics, realized that he would be in Utah and he would need a 7-footer one day, and he made sure that Kyle Filipowski was that guy.
Okay, my three best draft classes. And I'm going to give you which I think was the best, and I think it's kind of surprising. I think by far and away the best draft class is the Minnesota Timberwolves. Because if you're looking at what you are, which is a team that challenged for a championship last year, and then finding complementary pieces in the draft to make you better is not easy. But they got Rob Dillingham with the trade from San Antonio. So Dillingham, the kid out of Kentucky, was drafted 8. If Dillingham can hold up defensively, his combination of shot making and ball handling could make him and Anthony Edwards future partner in the backcourt for years to come. Like, it's unbelievable that San Antonio would trade him away. It's insane.
We had Fran Fraschilla on Monday who said he had the best ball skills, basically saying similar to Kyrie type ability with the ball in his hands. So now we're going to pair him with Anthony Edwards in the backcourt. That's what you're going to get. Also, the way they can play off of the two bigs down there, assuming Gobert stays. But I told you I love Terrence Shannon. So then you add that as well to the draft class. You're getting guards who can show up and contribute. You're adding depth to a team that was awesome and plays defense. Everything about those two picks for the development of this young Minnesota team is going to give them real staying power.
Well, first off, yeah, I know that Dillingham's undersized, but one thing he can do is score. The one piece that Minnesota was missing, they needed buckets and crunch time. He can help with that. And then to your point about Terrence Shannon. Yeah, Shannon was the oldest player selected in the first round. That's exactly what Minnesota needs, because outside of Mike Conley, who was there to handle the ball? That's going to be Terrence Shannon. Like, I can't even believe how perfect these two players are for Minnesota.
He averaged 23 points per game in the Big Ten. Not the Big 12. The Big Ten, brother.
Go play intramural, brother. Now, Terrence Shannon Jr., look, I just tried to go straight down the middle with this stuff. He was exonerated on the rape case. We're in America. I don't think he should have heard his case. I have no clue, but maybe it did. And also the fact that he played 5 years in college.
Sure. Sure.
But you're going to a team that wants to win literally
that.
Today.
That's the point, is you need that. That's why Dalton Kaneko going to the Lakers matters, right? Because of the age, because of the maturity, because of the development there. That plays a role in why it's a good fit. Team wants to win now. They can't wait for you to get up to speed. Much easier to bridge that gap with an older, experienced player.
Okay, give me one. Give me one of your favorite draft classes, because I just took Minnesota.
Okay, well, Oklahoma City, Nikola Topic. Here's the analysis. I don't actually know anything about Nikola Topic, but I know Nikola Jokic was drafted and Nikola Jovic was drafted, and both of them are really good. I have to assume if you're named Nikola and you get picked and Oklahoma City's going to work him into their system, Nikola Topic, home run pick.
Nikola Schtick on a Friday, June 28th? Someone's already on vacation.
I'll give you this. I thought my Knicks, aside from the Bridges move, trading back, I liked what they were doing there to save money. But I thought Tyler Kolek and Kevin McCullough Jr. in Kansas averaged 18 points a game. Like, he's a guy that you can develop off the bench potentially to be like one of those deeper options down the road. They've had success with guys like Grimes and Deuce McBride in the past doing that. And I thought Kolek was a good bench piece for them. But Reed Sheppard might be my favorite pick. I think Reed Sheppard going to Houston, giving them an outside wing shot threat, I think that's a massive upgrade for that team and a great spot for him.
I actually had your Knicks with those two as number five on my list. I think they're perfect for them.
Yep.
I love Kolek going to the Knicks. When we return, more off the draft, Eric Pincus, Bleacher Report.